2009. The Ides of March. Good thing we're not Roman dictators. Is the microphone not on?
Testing.
I'll just move it a little bit closer. Good morning again. As you may know, we generally start our Kabbalary functions with three deep breaths to unify our thinking on a particular plane of mind or a particular thought that has more power when people work together. And you, some of you may also know that one of our fellow students, Casey Loran, suffered a serious accident and is in the hospital, and he's getting the best of care that the medical profession can give him, and he's being closely supported by our dear friends Garrett Hennigan and Carly Hennigan. But I think this morning it would be appropriate if we were to send him and Amanda, to Casey and Amanda, thoughts of love and support, peace of mind, and a thought of a full and complete mental and physical recovery. So let's dedicate our thoughts this morning to him. Thank you. This morning we have two speakers, and as your nose is probably telling you, we have a brunch to follow, which looks smells delicious. Our first speaker this morning will be talking on the concept of gratitude, and that's a very important part of life, to express appreciation as a way of giving back. Our speaker, Stephanie Alden, is a teaches business writing, and she has been an instructor of the life analysis training classes. She's been a student and heavily involved in the Kabbalary Women's Club for many years, and she has also been part of the planning group, which is one of our marketing planning groups. So, to speak to us about gratitude this morning, please give Stephanie Alden a big welcome.
Good morning. My talk this morning was inspired from an article which I read recently. It was in the Reader's Digest, and the article is called How the New Science of Thank You Can Change Your Life. And in the article, it talked about gratitude and how powerful gratitude is in your life when you express it in creating happiness in our lives. I looked up the word gratitude in the dictionary, and it said, gratitude is a feeling of thankfulness and appreciation. It's a quality or feeling of being grateful or thank you. The word itself originates from the Latin word gratis, which means thankful. And the root of the word is gratia, which means favor, pleasing quality, or goodwill. Then looked up the word grateful, and the definition is appreciative of benefits received. In the article, the author mentioned that there were several studies conducted on gratitude, and different experiments were done on people to test is gratitude something important in our lives. What the author was suggesting is that before bedtime, take a moment and jot down three things that happened to you during that day in which you feel grateful. Anything that made you feel uplifted, or maybe that brought a smile to your face, or that contributed in some way to your happiness. And then once you've written down those three items during the day, then what was it about those three situations that was good for you? And so the point of the article on gratitude mentioned that gratitude is a very powerful thing in our lives, and there are many, many benefits that result. We sleep better, for one. We tend to exercise more. We're more optimistic in our approach to life, more alert and active. And the author was saying that he tested the theory by taking three groups. One group, they were asked to focus on things that went wrong in their life. So they did that for 1 week. Just all the hassles they had, the problems at work, etc. The second group were asked to think about what they were grateful about in their lives. And they were asked to do that every day. And the third group were asked to think about ordinary things in their lives, just daily activities that went on. And so, as you may guess, the group that had the most favorable results was the second group, the group that had focused on gratefulness. And so the result of the study was that people who tend to be grateful just see life in a more positive way. And because of that, their lives seems to be more successful in many areas of their lives. They tend to have a higher quality of life and more energy, more enthusiasm. If they are setting goals, they seem to be more focused or more determined in their approach. They tend to have just a more joyful approach to life. And also, the tendency is to be more compassionate towards others. They find it easier to give to others and to be helpful in some way. Other benefits that were shown were that gratitude also suggests clearer thinking, better resilience during hard times, less likelihood to experience stress because of just a better attitude towards life, higher immune system, immune response, also closer relationship ties, and greater spirituality. Gratitude also on a physical level was showing that it releases a hormone, a chemical dopamine, which is also linked to happiness as well. So overall, many, many benefits to showing a grateful attitude in our lives. So I thought, well, what can we as students be grateful for? And so, you know, when we think about the philosophy and what we're given as students, we have many, many things to be grateful for. Think about the time before you became a student to what your life is today. Would your life be happier today, or would it be discordant if you did not have the philosophy in your life? Would you be healthy in your life, or would you be experiencing health challenges. Would you even be around today? Some of us had very discordant names. What would life be today if we had continued to live that discordancy? So when you think about the number of people in the world, we're looking at billions of people in the world, and how many students are around, and it's really quite amazing to be here and to have the philosophy in our lives. We often think about buying a lottery ticket, and yet when you think about our studentship, we're all lottery winners. And because we have so much going for ourselves in being students of the philosophy. And so because what we study is the understanding of life. So we can be very grateful for the tools that we're given in the philosophy. And of course, the most important tool that we have is the understanding of the mathematical principle. It's the principle of 1 to 9, and we see that this principle is measurable in all aspects of life. And the benefits of understanding the principle is that it gives us a unique understanding of mind. We see that mind is created by our name, and that it gives us an appreciation of the effect of our name on our lives, both physically and mentally. So we get to learn about what is a balanced name and versus what is an unbalanced name. The principle of 1 to 9 shows us our strengths and our weaknesses. And as we understand each of the numbers, we see the areas that are our strengths and areas that we actually need to work on to improve ourselves. It gives us a greater understanding of others and why they think the way they do. And so, because perhaps in our dealings with people, perhaps they have a different approach than we do, but the fact that we understand their mathematical makeup gives us a greater appreciation for who they are. We have a greater tolerance. So it allows us to recognize our strengths and to work on overcoming our weaknesses in our makeup that is holding us back. So our goal in life is we want to grow. We want to be free from our limitations. So for example, if we have a tendency to be moody or negative, we can do something about that. Perhaps we have qualities in our makeup where it was easy for us to be negative or easy for us to be moody. Recognizing that is the first step to making a change in our lives. We want our lives to be beautiful and uplifting and not to be held back by our limitations. We all have limitations, but it's up to us to do something about it and to grow. And we can be grateful for the fact that we actually understand those strengths and those limitations and then what we can do about it. So we can be grateful for the understanding of the mathematical principles because in addition to name, it also gives us an understanding about cycles and that as human beings, we are all subject to the law of time. And we are part of time from our first breath to our last breath. And that time is measurable. And we measure it through cycles. And those cycles are defined in years, in months, days, hours. And so when we have that understanding of cycles, then we know that there is a time to seed. There's a time to test what we have seeded. There's a time to harvest. And so we can maximize the use of time. And because we know, we understand what time is and the qualities of time and how to use it to its optimum benefit. We can be grateful for the understanding of the mathematical principles because it also gives us an understanding of immutable laws and that we are here for a purpose. And so one of the laws we know is that the law of duality, that all of life is dual, the abstract and the finite, and that the finite is merely a reflection of the abstract. We're here physically in the finite. We have a body, but our mind is the link to the abstract, and we, through our mind, we understand that there is a bigness to life, that there's something greater than who we are, and that working through life, governing life, and that there is a pattern to life. We can appreciate the fact that we come into life, we evolve into life, and we are part of the whole, and yet our goal is to reflect back the whole by evolving through life. And so we grow through different stages in our life, and hopefully with a greater understanding, greater tolerance of ourselves, of others, greater a concept of life. We also know that we are part of this law of action and reaction, so that, as the expression is, as we sow, so shall we reap. We know that we reap in life what we create. We are a creative power. And so, for example, if we look at after our body, we work on being happy and on giving, then we know that that is what we're seeding. What we will reap is a happy life, a happy and constructive life. Other tools that we're given in the philosophy that we can be grateful for is tools that will ensure good health. And so we talk about having a vegetarian diet in the philosophy, importance of eating healthily, fruit and vegetables, and moderate intake of fish, and limiting our intake of starches and sugar. And, of course, the benefits are to lighten our body, making our body more vibrant and responsive and more healthy. Our body is the temple of the spirit. And so we want to make sure that we look after our body. We know that meat is heavy to digest, and physically we also see that we're not really meant to be meat eaters. And so we teach that a diet of where we exclude eating meat. We also know that if we eat too much sugar or starches, our body tends to be more mucus-forming, and more toxic, which, of course, leads to aches and pains and poor health. So we want to maintain a good vegetarian diet. Another tool that we can be grateful for in the philosophy is our daily deep breathing exercises. And so we teach the importance of that, and we know that physically doing daily deep breathing energizes our body. It also makes our solar plexus stronger. Mentally, it also gives us a greater clarity in our thinking. And, you know, have you ever noticed you do your breathing in the morning and then maybe you go off to work or you go off for a walk and perhaps something you've been thinking about, and all of a sudden the picture becomes clear what you need to work on, or maybe an idea that you've had, you're thinking about a certain concept, and somehow it's just easier to grasp the concept. So the benefits of breathing, of course, is just helping us deal with getting a greater understanding, and also dealing with challenges that perhaps we face in our daily lives, whether it's at work or at home, or maybe dealing with people. This gives us more strength to draw on. One of the concepts that we've come to recognize in the recent years is that we can be grateful for is the benefit of regular exercise. You know, especially as we get older, I think it's important for us to be active physically. We find that our body is more energetic, more vital. We have more strength in us, And also the benefits on a mental level is that it's a constructive habit to exercise. It creates more discipline in our lives. And usually we tend to have a more positive outlook in our lives. Another tool that we can think about, that we can be grateful of, is in creating good health, is just developing good mental habits. And so one of the habits is to exercise our mind, to sharpen our mind. Some of the ways we can look at that would be perhaps learning a new language, reading good literature, good books, or reading books with the idea of learning something new. This one I think is important, writing our own thoughts, our own concepts on something. So taking a moment during the day or during the week and writing down, you know, what do I think about this concept? Another would be taking a course or doing some crossword puzzles might be another way. Another tool to help us to be grateful of is maintaining a mental diet. And by that I mean choosing an area that we recognize we need to work on and consciously focusing on it and working on it over a period of time. So perhaps we're the type of person that we have an intense nature. We tend to be hyper. A goal might be every day taking an hour, taking half an hour, and consciously forcing yourself to calm down. Could be going out for a walk, writing, studying, but what you're doing is developing a new habit. Is you're overcoming the weakness and you're working towards making a change that is a positive thing. Another idea about that we can be grateful of, another tool that we can try, that is being willing to try something new. And, for example, perhaps you've never given a talk and the idea is scary. Well, even just trying it, doesn't matter how it comes out, just trying it, maybe your legs are shaking, can't even remember your name, but you're doing it. And or being on a panel. Perhaps it's being an assistant at LAT or giving a name analysis at an open house or being part of a meal, a banquet, doing something different, doing something new to make a stretch. And the benefits there is it's you get out of your rut, you learn the benefit of being bold and what bold means. And it's also empowering. And usually when you try something new, it's scary. But I found through teaching, it's been a very rewarding experience to be able to teach. Because when you teach, often when you talk to other teachers, they usually say teaching a new topic is scary. And I don't know of any instructors that don't go through the idea of being scared, especially when they teach a new course. But I find that pushing past the fear is just an illusion. Fear is an illusion. And you find that when you push past that, you realize, wow, you know, it wasn't as scary as I thought, and I can do this. And so I think being willing to try something, it's natural to feel scared because it's something new, it's something different, you never tried it. But it's also exciting because I think we're pushing the limit of what we can do. And I think we can recognize that there's so much that we can do, that we're capable of. And it's very empowering. And so in summary, gratitude is an important concept in our lives. And I think that we can show that gratitude by our application. We know we've been given the concepts of right breathing, right eating, right thinking, and we've been given some very valuable tools. And so let's show our gratitude to the philosophy by applying what we've been learning, what we've been given. And in return, we'll find that our life is more vibrant and healthy. We'll have our life, it will be more happy and harmonious. And we'll have a greater sense of purpose in our life and of service to our fellow men. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie Alden. We're grateful she gave us this talk this morning. Our next talk is on the gift of the presence. Oh, the gift of the present. I wrote that down wrong. So much of our world is involved with remembering yesterday and planning for tomorrow. We seldom take a moment like we are this morning to just be in the present and take ourselves offline for perhaps. Our speaker this morning, Michelle Richardson, has been involved in the Kabbalah philosophy for many years. She's put on, convened many of our social events, banquets and artistic shows up on the stage here. She's a successful businesswoman, and she has been heavily involved in the Calgary Women's Club and been quite supportive of and is on the Student Executive Council. So to talk to us about Gift of the Present, please welcome Michelle Richardson.
Thank you, Harrison. Good morning, fellow students, and to our listening audience on the telecast. A gift of the present. The word gift, it just evokes such feelings of anticipation, of surprise, of excitement. We think of our birthday, and we think of Christmas and the anniversaries, and all those special occasions in life that create the opportunity to be the recipient of gifts. And it's the anticipation of the moment that creates that anticipation, and the build-up of the occasion. It's not always about the gift itself. But a gift is something we love to receive. It's something about the unknown. It's looking at it. It's what is inside it. It's the beautiful wrapping. It's the presentation. And it's the idea that someone cared enough to share something with you, to give something to you. That's the physical expression of a gift. And we wait for all those special occasions in life to give them and to receive them. But there's a miracle in life that's a gift that we don't always appreciate because it's not something that we think of necessarily. We don't anticipate it in the same way. And it's because it's something that's given to us beyond the physical. It's not something we can ask for. It's not something we can unwrap. Not something that's presented in beautiful wrapping paper. It's not something we can return if we don't like it. We can't re-gift it. We can't even write a thank you note for it. And the gift, it's the miracle of life. We didn't ask for it. We just are. And when one thinks of the miracle of life, of birth, you think of it with joy, of anticipation. You think of parents waiting the birth of their child. You know, they wonder what it'll look like, what the characteristics are going to be, whether it's going to look like Grandma Jones or whether it's going to have Uncle Harry's nose or whatever. But it's the anticipation of the waiting for the moment. And then the baby's born and the miracle happens. And it's up until that point, it's all about the anticipation. But it's the anticipation of the physical. The anticipation, because we know that there's been a physical unification of the egg and the sperm, male and female coming together, and then the baby and the growing within the mother. And then after much work, and I guess they don't call it labor for nothing, the baby appears and it takes its first breath. And that really is the miracle. That is the gift. It's the gift of consciousness that becomes involved within that physical being and allows life to take place. You know, it's like having a field of beautiful, brown, good, healthy earth. And it looks so beautiful, but it's just earth. And the farmer that has a handful of seeds, it's a potential. It just is. But you've got earth and you've got seeds. But really, you don't have anything until the farmer takes and plants those seeds into the earth. And then the moisture, the rain comes and germinates the seeds. And then all of a sudden, life happens. Again, it's that gift. But that's when life starts. So the same with that baby. It's when that first breath is taken, then the gift of life happens and the baby becomes a living being through the involutionary process of life. And that gift then becomes present. And what we do with it becomes each person's lifelong ambition and lifelong goal. The teacher of our organization, Mr. Alfred J. Parker, wrote the book Man's Greatest Gift, Time. And in the book, he explains why time is the greatest gift. And he talks and discusses how time is space. Time is consciousness. But more than that, time is growth. Time is something that just goes on. The timeline of life is, there's nothing we can do about it. It's an immutable law. It's like gravity. We're all given a part of it. Whatever happens in our personal lives is individualized. We're just a speck on this timeline of life. You can think of it as no beginning, no end. It just goes on and on. At some point, we're born, and we're born into that universal picture, the universal bigness of life when we take our first breath. And we go forward in life until we take that last breath. And even when we stop breathing, life as we individually know it ceases, but life still goes on. Time still is. And that's why time and being given the opportunity of life is such a gift. It's not really ours. It's something we've been given. It's something that we use through our time in life. And it can't be wasted. You know, so often you hear the expression that life's a game, you know, it just goes on. When you think of all the games, at least when I think of games that I know, you know, baseball, you've got three strikes and you're out, so you got three chances to win. You know, you play hockey, it's a team, you hit the puck into the net, you know, it goes on for a couple hours, but you have the chances. And, you know, soccer, you have kick the ball and you hit it, but you have lots of opportunities. Perhaps when there's a penalty in the game, that's when you could compare it a little bit to life, because you've got that one shot when it's yours and yours alone, and you can make the difference. But really, life isn't a game. We have our one chance at life. There's no negotiations, there's no deals, there's no lifelines. It's just your life for the time that you're breathing. So we have a responsibility to this gift. Use it wisely and productively. As the chairperson mentioned about living in the moment, we hear so much about that comment about living in the moment. And to some, it can appear to be a negative connotation, in as much as it's not thought to be responsible. I'll just live in the here and now, and who cares about yesterday? Who cares about tomorrow? It doesn't really matter. I'm just flowing with the moment. I'm in the moment. But in reality, all we really have is the moment. Because as soon as this second in time is over, it's the past. And the next second, it's the future. So all we have is this moment in time, this very second, to do whatever it is that we want to create. Once the second's gone, it's in the past. Now, there's a saying that 1 minute of anger is 60 seconds of lost happiness. We don't ever want to regret that we didn't live that very minute to the absolute most and the fullest. Because if we live every moment and every second to the fullest, then we have no regrets in life. But it's hard because so much of life is spent in learning lessons and growing and you know, from the time we take our first breath and as a baby and a child, it's all hard work. You know, we have our teachers and our mentors and our parents and, you know, we're guided and led through life. But at some point in time, we have to sit up and take responsibility. We have to go, this is my life. I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. What am I doing with my life? Because if we don't take responsibility for our own life, then we are just living in the moment, but on the negative. And if we dwell on the past, then we don't plan for the future. And so many people get caught up in the past. You know, you so often hear, oh, I should have done this. If only I had done that. If I just would have bought that house in that market, you know, think of what I could have sold it at today. And people live with so much regret for the things that, you know, the should have, could have, would have, like what they could have done in their life. And I sort of imagine it like starting out in the morning and you get into your car. And that seems pretty normal. That's what you do. You get in, you put your car into reverse, and you reverse out of your driveway onto the street. You put the car in drive, and you head off for your day at work. But that's what life should be. We should be in the driver's seat, and we should put the car in drive, and we should be progressing through life. However, lots of people in life, ourselves included, sometimes we get in that car, we put it into reverse, and we back out of our driveway, and then we keep going, looking in the rearview mirror. We're not going to get to work very fast. We're not going to get anywhere very fast. We continue looking in that rearview mirror, driving backwards. We're not going to get anywhere. And that's so often how we are in life. We're so busy looking into the past of what we could have done different, if only, that we don't put the car in drive and go forward and be progressive and go somewhere with our thinking. We have to really analyze our life and say, do we want to live our life driving backwards in looking in the rearview mirror? Or do we want to have an eye out for the future and be driving and going forward? The past is important. The past makes you who you are. But it's who you are that then decides where you are going. And the past forms the foundation. It forms a very important part of who we are. But our present is now, and it's only built on the past. And that past creates our future. So what do we want to build today, and how do we build it? As the previous speaker mentioned, in the Kabbalah and philosophy, we have the privilege of understanding the laws of mathematics and mind. And we know what our potential is, so when we're born, we understand what our purpose in life is. We're given that gift of consciousness when we take that first breath. We're given our potential, and then we're given a balanced name, or at some point in time, we adopt a balanced name. That gives us the understanding of the principle and where we're going and how we can unfold that conscious power within us. But we also know that we have the gift of time. We're born into time, and we must utilize it to unfold that purpose. So the Kabbalah and philosophy also teaches us how mathematics relates to time, and then how we can use the conscious power within time to unfold our purpose. So we have the cycles, and we have a cyclic understanding of how we individually relate to time. And I think it's at this point that we can understand how we can make our most of the time we have in life. We think of time being that gift. But how do we open that gift? It's through using the key of cycles. Cycles is like that wrapping paper that's around the gift. Cycles is what covers the essence of the moment. And every morning brings us a new beginning, a new opening, a new gift of the present. And we know the cycle of the day, and therefore we can unwrap that moment in time and figure out what to do with it and how to create the best expression. You know, there's an ancient Eskimo proverb, and it says, yesterday is ashes, tomorrow is wood, only today does the fire burn brightly? And I thought that was very appropriate as to how to keep that fire burning brightly in the moment today, so that we do only have ashes for yesterday, and that tomorrow is just a bigger supply of more wood to create the fire of what we're doing. So when we know the potential of consciousness through the cyclic understanding within each day, then we can anticipate and we can create and make the most of every moment. So how do we unwrap our cycles? How do we unwrap that one cycle day? So we look at the one cycle day and we unwrap it by knowing that today is the day of starting. It's planting that seed. It's knowing that we're going to do everything possible within the day, within the time given to us, to set the foundation. So that when we look back, there's no wishes for what might have been, but that we built the strongest foundation that we possibly could and that what we were capable of. And then we unwrap the two-cycle day. We know we need to use that quality of time to really understand what's going on in someone else's heart and mind. And that's hard to do sometimes. But the energy of the cycle gives us that opportunity. And we have to realize that that today, it's not about me, it's about someone else. And then our three-cycle day, well, that should be just rip it off the wrapping paper. We need to have the biggest expression of enthusiasm and of love for the day, to be giving, to utilize the moment within the day, to show all the love and the tolerance and the understanding, and to give as we've never given before. That's the anticipation of the day. That's what the day holds for us, and that's what we should be unwrapping. And then the four-cycle day, well, that's the time you need to unwrap your gift a little bit more carefully. Should unfold it, and with every attention to detail, everything that we can think of. We need to look back then to our one-cycle day, and we need to think, what can we do today to improve upon that foundation of what we started in that one-cycle day? And do whatever is necessary to take and build the strength and integrity into that essence of time. Because then that gives us the building blocks to go into our five-cycle day and to unwrap that day. And boy, we better not forget to unwrap that day, because we're just start the day and we're so far ahead we forget to go back. So we have to take that time to unwrap that day, because that's the day full of new growth and of new energy and new thoughts, and it's the time to grow and to expand and to develop all the new ideas in life. The sixth day comes along, the sixth cycle, and it's unwrapped by accepting the responsibility of the time to help someone else, to teach, to nurture. It's a time to put our own house in order. And then the seventh day comes, and the seventh cycle, how do we unwrap the potential within that? We unwrap it serenely. We unwrap it with peace and reflectiveness. It's the anticipation of the growth within mind. As that energy of the cycle unfolds, it creates a new understanding of consciousness, and it allows new thoughts to materialize and ideas. And our eighth cycle is the fruition time, and we should have great anticipation of the rewards because of it, of the fruition, of all the efforts we've put into our life through the one to the seven. And that's the anticipation. We're unwrapping that day because we know we've created a fruition in our life. And all the efforts put forth should be a time of joy and anticipation for the future. And then we hit the ninth cycle day, and that day is unwrapped with the intention of keeping that wrapping paper. You know how you carefully unwrap a gift and you love that paper so much and you fold it up and you tuck it away because you're going to use it sometime in the future for another special occasion. And that's the purpose or the quality behind that day of the nine, that anticipation. It's the further activity for future cycles. It's the anticipation of the seeds for the future. It's a reflective time, and through that reflection, the seed for the future becomes apparent. So the anticipation is each day, and each day can be lived to its fullest. There's a saying, I think it was credited to Eleanor Roosevelt, and she says that I find it here somewhere. Time waits for no man. And her interpretation of that was that the clock is running, make the most of today. Time waits for no man. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. And her analogy to the time waits for no man came from a woman who wrote in 1902 a book about sundials. And there's a device on a sundial that points the direction of the sun, and it's called Gnoman, which is spelled G-N-O-M-A-N. And that's the point on a sundial that indicates time. And so through history and time, it's become Gnoman. And time waits for no man. And that's where the saying originally comes from. But it's so interesting to think that every day can be Christmas. Every day can be a birthday. It's a celebration of life every moment and every minute. It's the anticipation of the future, of growth and of fulfillment. And it's through that fulfillment that we actually are giving back then to life. So not only do we give, we receive. There was a quote I found which was kind of amusing, but I thought I'd read it because it sort of really encapsulates what time should and does mean. Imagine there is a bank account that credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries no balance from day to day. Every evening, the bank deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. But what would you do? Well, you'd go and draw out every cent, of course. So each of us has that bank, but it's called time. And every morning, it credits you with 86,400 seconds. And every night, it writes off its loss. Whatever of this you have failed to invest to a good purpose. It carries no balance. It offers no overdraft. Each day it's a new account, and every night it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours, and there's no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get from it the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Make the most of today. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who's given birth to a premature child. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who's just missed his bus. To realize the value of 1 second, ask someone who has just avoided an accident. And to realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won the silver medal at the Olympics. So treasure every moment that we have, and treasure it because we share the time with others. We share it with our friends. And remember that time waits for no man, and we have the Tabularian philosophy and the principles within it to unwrap every moment and to make every moment count. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle, for your thoughts to carry us through the week. As I mentioned before, we have a brunch for you downstairs following this event. It's sponsored by the Caballeria Women's Club, and I can tell you that it is going to be very tasty. The cost is by donation to the Caballeria Women's Fund's various projects. On Tuesday, we have the ongoing classes that are being given here at 7:30 p.m., life analysis training and psychomanagement training. Both of those courses teach some of the things that our speakers this morning referred to. Saturday is the first day of spring, Saturday the 21st of March, and our Kebler and Men's Club, this is their big annual fundraiser of an auction, a dinner at 6 p.m., followed by the auction at 7:30 p.m. The auction is for students and our friends, and all items are either handcrafted or, well, they're all new. They're either newly purchased or newly handcrafted. And we always have a great selection of items for you, and we also have a wonderful dinner that the men put on. So come and